Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Let's find in our Bibles Exodus chapter 20, because as you can see from the slide behind me, we are continuing this morning that series on the Ten Commandments. And we want to think this morning about Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. If you would find Exodus 20 and 15, you'll be ready to go. I would remind you, the calendar changed and it's October. And now we're just a couple of weeks away from our special invitation event, an opportunity for you to invite your friends. October 18th, October 25th, really focusing on Jesus. 18th of October, going to talk about, is Jesus just a myth, made-up myth? Maybe someone has confronted you or you've heard somebody say, New Testament Christians just borrowed from the legends about Mithras or the legends about this Egyptian god Horus. They just carried that all over and made up their own myth called Christianity now. Maybe you've been confronted with that. Talk about that on the 18th. 25th, talk about what Jesus would be like to be in a conversation with the Lord. How would that go and what would Jesus say? It's all about Jesus. And I do want to remind you again, remember, we never invite somebody because we think they'd come. We invite people because it is our job as Christians to provide opportunities for people to hear the Word of God. It's not about whether I think they're going to come. It's do they have a soul? Do they need to know about Jesus? And hey, come hear about Jesus. We do our job and leave the rest up to the Lord. He will give the increase. We're looking forward to October 18th and 25th. Already. Having said all of those things, then, how about we get a little bit of Exodus here? This is Exodus chapter 20, and I'm reading in Exodus 20 and verse 15. Doesn't take long to read the eighth commandment. You shall not steal. You shall not steal. Let me show you a very famous Saturday Evening Post cover. This was done by Leslie Thrasher in October of 1936. It's in the style that Norman Rockwell made so famous. And this is called The Tipping Point. And it's just that quintessentially Americana picture. You can just see that small town butcher shop. Here's a wonderful lady, maybe in her 60s there, distinguished citizen. Just a great situation as they do a little business there together. But of course, what makes The Tipping Point so great is that when we look a little bit closer, what do we see? We look a little bit closer and we see that the butcher, under the cover of the paper, is pushing down on the scale, making that bird weigh a little more so he can charge a little more. And what is that wonderfully distinguished, respectable lady doing while he's pushing down? She, under the cover of the meat, she's pushing up so that it'll weigh a little less and she won't have to pay so much. And what they're both doing is stealing. Stealing. Isn't there a commandment about that? Isn't that what Moses is talking about in Exodus 20 and verse 15? Stealing, burglary, theft, robbery, shoplifting. They're a huge problem in our world today. I saw a story quoting David Elton. He's a partner in a small hotel chain. He said people will steal anything from a hotel room. Bathrobes, coat hangers, bed linens, mattress covers, towels, pillows, toilet seat covers. Pretty much everything in the room. In that story, one hotel reported that they had gone in after a guest had stayed in a hotel and found that the carpet had been physically cut off the floor, rolled up, and carried away. A survey of English people, what's it with English people? 69% of the English admit to stealing a Bible out of a hotel room. I'm not even sure what to say about that. If you're stealing the Bible, you probably need a Bible. Don't steal a Bible. It's not just hotels, though, is it? The IRS estimates that they paid out $3.6 billion in fraudulent tax refunds to identity thieves. $3.6 billion. You start adding to that the people who don't report all their income or who lie about the number of dependents, do all kinds of monkey business on their income tax. The IRS figures that there's about a $250 billion cost to all the lies and cheating that goes on, all the stealing that goes on 1040 forms every year. $250 billion. Not just hotels. Not just the IRS. Millions of ways in our society, they're stealing and robbery and cheating. You're probably like me. You've probably been stolen from. Came out, got my truck one cool morning a couple of winters ago, grabbed my gloves that I leave there on my dashboard, and They were gone. Parked the truck on the street for the night, left it unlocked. My gloves, my cell phone charging cord, some other stuff. Somebody had come by, helped themselves. Somebody had stolen from me. This morning, we want to talk about Exodus 20 and 15. We want to continue this series on the Ten Commandments with the Eighth Commandment, and it simply and forcefully rebukes the safecracker and the kidnapper and the bank robber and, yes, the butcher and his customer. But more than just that, Exodus 20 and 15 helps us better understand the Lord, who knows what is best and provided His people the best standard of civil laws that have ever been written. Those 10 standards, if you will, God's top 10, represent His directed will for His people, the Israelites, in what they needed to do to be right with Him and to be right with each other. And I do need to say again, said this with every lesson, we're not under the Ten Commandments today. We're not under the law of Moses. We're under the law of Christ. Paul covers that in Colossians 2 and in Galatians the third chapter. We're under the law of Christ, but 9 of those commandments are certainly carried forward into the law of Christ. So we want to think about them. And even more, we want to learn about the God who said, "You shall not steal." In fact, as we're doing that, we may think, "Yeah, this is pretty easy. Bank robbers and hold up people, oh, don't be doing that." But once again, especially when we start thinking about what Jesus says, we may find this law to be more challenging than at first glance we would have thought. Let's explore together this morning the Eighth Commandment. And of course, the place to begin doing that is to just talk about the command and what it means. And I must tell you, wow, I'm not sure what to say here except to say the command means don't steal. It's just pretty obvious, isn't it? Stealing is taking something that doesn't belong to you. I don't need to define that in Hebrew terms. I don't need to read out a Webster dictionary. We all know what stealing is, and we all know it's wrong. Everybody knows that. If you don't believe it, you find yourself a little 3-year-old, little 4-year-old, and you just reach down there and pull their favorite teddy bear out of their arms and walk off with it. Everybody knows stealing is wrong. When you do that, you'll want to be ready to quote the 6th commandment to the dad who comes after you in a minute. Thou shalt not kill. We all know about stealing. Now, there are some folks who have come to Exodus 20 and 15 and have tried to narrow what stealing means there. Some scholars have said that's just not a big enough deal to fit in there with "you shall not kill" and "you shall not commit adultery." It needs to be a bigger name sin. So some have tried to limit that to kidnapping. And it certainly is stealing another person. Kidnapping is certainly something that's forbidden under the law of Moses in Exodus the 21st chapter. And there are other references to that. But there is no reason. There's no reason to limit the terms that are being used here. It's a term that's used throughout the Scriptures. In some places it means stealing under the cover of darkness or stealing in a time of confusion. But in the end, you know what it means? It means taking something that doesn't belong to you. Do that a lot of different ways. You could do that by force. Remember the Good Samaritan? Robbers took him, beat him, took what they wanted from him. You can do that by deception. Remember Jacob fooling his father, taking the blessing that didn't belong to him? You can do that by defrauding somebody, and defrauding is just a fancy way of saying not paying what you owe. Let's look in Proverbs for a moment, in Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3 is a wonderful account here, which Paul makes use of over in Romans, in Proverbs the 3rd chapter. Look at verse 27 with me there. Don't withhold, Proverbs 3 and 27. Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. And don't say to your neighbor, "Go and come again tomorrow, I will give it," when you have it with you. That's probably talking about paying your bills. And the bill collector comes and you say, "Yeah, I don't really have it today." Yeah, you do. Don't defraud somebody. Don't take something that isn't yours, whether you break into a house and steal it, or you get out a gun and force somebody to give it to you, or you pocket it when the store owner isn't looking. It's stealing, and it's wrong. But it's not just those obvious big bad ways of stealing that are being addressed here. When we start to probe a little bit further, we can understand better that commandment and we can better understand God who gave the commandment. And maybe the way to do that is to just think a little bit about what's the big deal here? Those scholars who want to narrow the term in Exodus 20 because, you know, stealing is just not a big thing. I think there's a lot of people who feel that way. If you take the towels in the hotel room, I mean, come on. They have more. And if you fudge a little bit on your income taxes, do you know how much money the government gets and how much they waste? I mean, no one's going to miss it. You file a false insurance claim. Oh, come on. Those giant corporations, they've got gazillions of dollars. Not even going to know. Isn't that the kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge attitude a lot of people have about stealing today? Not that, hey, they got insurance to cover that, don't you know? Isn't that what you hear? Maybe what we ought to do is refresh our thinking about how God feels about stealing. And a great place to do that is in Judges. Can you crank your Bible back to Judges 7? In Judges, the 7th chapter, we're reading about the conquest of the land of promise. And there isn't, I'm sorry, it's Joshua 7, not Judges 7. In Joshua, the 7th chapter, everything appears to be going great. Children of Israel show up in the land of Canaan, cross the Jordan River on dry ground, stomp through Jericho, totally unlikely military victory. God grants them that city in the most incredible way. They are rolling. They've got the momentum. Everything's going great. Nobody's going to stop us. Next thing you know, in Joshua, the 7th chapter, they go up to take on this little bitty city and they get whipped at Ai. And Joshua and the people of Israel are beside themselves. If we can't beat Ai, I mean, what are we going to do against the real cities around here? And of course, God's answer to that is, the reason you can't beat Ai, verse 11, is because there's sin in the camp. What's the sin here? What's the sin that God takes so seriously that He puts a stop to the taking of the promised land? What's the problem that's going on? Got to be some big name sin. There's a murderer. That's the deal. Maybe there's an adulterer. That's what's going on. You know, if you're familiar with Joshua 7, the problem is there's a thief in their midst. In Joshua 7 and in verse 19, Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Give praise to Him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan answered Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. This is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them. I took them. See, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath." Those things weren't His. He stole them. And God demanded His life for what He did that was so wrong. Maybe sometimes when we come to Exodus 20 and we're reading the Ten Commandments and we look at that stealing thing and we say, that's just not a big enough deal. Maybe we need to redefine the word. Or maybe we need to do this. Or maybe we need to put neat labels and categories of how these sins affect society. This just doesn't seem to really work with our man-made system. What we need to remember is, God says stealing's a big deal, and that means it's a big deal. When the Lord says don't do it, that means we'd better not do it. One writer said, "What binds the Ten Commandments together is not their supposed comprehensiveness or the listing of social problems of equal weight, or their progressive development of the essential problems of society. What makes them important is they are commanded by God as 10 principles for those who would live their lives in relationship with Him." That is exactly right. God says don't do it. We'd better not do it. It's a big deal to God. And as we begin to think about that, we can start to see why it's such a big deal to God. Because first and foremost, when we steal, we're denying God's care for us. Isn't that exactly right? Let's put a little New Testament in here. How about Matthew chapter 6? In Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks a little bit there in Matthew 6 about possessions and stuff and the care of God. I'm reading in Matthew 6 and verse 19, where Jesus says in Matthew 6 and 19, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal." Don't get all caught up in the things of this world and grabbing more stuff. Well, why not, Jesus? Why shouldn't we do that? Verse 25. I'm telling you, verse 25, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Don't be all caught up in stuff, because God cares for you. Now, we understand, of course, that the Lord takes care of us oftentimes through means like our jobs or our savings or our care and generosity that we receive from others. But, of course, ultimately, every good thing that we have comes from who? It comes from the Lord. The Lord blesses us and cares for us. So when I steal something, what am I saying? I'm saying, God, you're not getting it done. You're just not providing for me what I think I need and what I want, so I'm just going to go out and get it myself. Instead of using lawful and righteous means, being blessed by God as I do what's right to receive, instead I'm going to do something wrong and get what I want. If you think I'm stretching that, look at the admonition in 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 8, this is the rebuke of the prophet Nathan of King David. And what this is all about is David taking a woman that wasn't his. And part of that rebuke, can you read me in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 8? Part of that rebuke is God saying to David, I took care of you and I blessed you with wives. You had plenty, but you had to go steal more. That's 2 Samuel 12, verse 8. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. If this were too little, I would have added to you even more. David, you weren't satisfied with what I gave you. Think about it. If everyone was content with what they had, stealing would vanish off of the face of the earth. If everybody just be happy with what God has given to them. Stealing can only occur when we're not content, when we're dissatisfied. And therefore, as such, in many ways, thieving, stealing, robbery, that's a slap in God's face. Especially because what does stealing do? That denies God's care for somebody else. You've got it. God blessed you with it. God in His providential care through various means, maybe your work, maybe somebody gave it to you. God saw to it that you had that. And what I'm going to say is, you know what? You don't get to have that. God said you're going to have that. I'm going to say, I'm going to have that. That's what I'm going to do. I'm taking it from you. God gave it to you. I want it. I'm going to steal it. And in fact, what that does mean, of course, is that Exodus 20 and 15 establishes the right to private ownership of property. If you can't own, then you cannot steal. There can be no stealing if you don't own it yourself. Sometimes people have trouble with that. Communism and socialism say that you can't own anything. The state owns everything. The Bible and the Lord have nothing to do with that. In Scripture, you can own. Forbidding stealing makes no sense if everything is owned by everybody. You can only steal when something belongs to someone else. In an ultimate sense, I understand. It's all the Lord's. But the Lord has blessed people with these things, with this money, with these possessions. The Lord has given it to them to be stewards of what He provides and blesses, and I have no right to say, I'm taking from you what God gave to you. Maybe the most important thing then to say about that is that what stealing really does is it denies God's ordained way to get stuff. How do you get stuff? One of the ways you can get stuff is people can give it to you. I get that. But mainly in Scripture, the way you receive money and possessions and food is your work. Let's get into Proverbs here for a moment. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, I'm reading there in verse 10. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10, the wise man says in Proverbs 6 and 10, "How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. You're not working. Next thing you know, you're poor, and you're hungry, and you end up doing what? You end up stealing. That's Proverbs 30. If you'll turn to Proverbs, the 30th chapter, let's plug that in. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8, in Proverbs 30 and verse 8, here's a wonderful prayer. Lord, don't give me too much and don't give me too little. Proverbs 30 verse 8, remove far from me falsehood and lying, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that's needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who's the Lord? And lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Don't want to get involved in stealing. What do I need to do? I need to work. That's the New Testament teaching in Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4 and verse 28. This is probably the most important text on stealing in the Bible. In Ephesians 4 and verse 28, here's the answer to the problem. Ephesians 4, 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. The Bible regularly recommends hard work. When I work hard, it means that I have self-respect because I'm doing what God made me to do. And furthermore, when I work hard, then I'll have something to share with others who could be in an emergency situation. But most importantly for our discussion today, when I work hard, it means I won't be tempted to steal from you because I'm providing for myself. We work instead of stealing. Now, as we begin to understand some of that, that begins to expand our understanding about stealing. What about taking home a bunch of office supplies? I just helped myself to some paper clips and scotch tape and couple of reams of paper and everything else that I can find that isn't nailed down. What about that? That's taking what isn't yours. And it denies these principles of God's care and God's care for others. It denies the principles of working. Speaking of working, what happens when I don't work? I sit there at the office, but I'm shopping online, or I'm texting my friends, or I'm reading Facebook. I don't do an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. At the end, what am I doing? I'm taking something I didn't earn. I'm taking something I did not deserve. I'm stealing from my employer. What about cheating on your taxes? When I cheat on my taxes, what I do is I take what isn't mine. I take from my fellow countrymen as they have to surrender more of what God has blessed them to support the goods and services that make this country run through our government. What about bankruptcy? Now, I need to be careful here. You need to listen carefully. Some bankruptcy protection allows people who've gotten in a bad situation or maybe just made some bad choices, to get a little time, to get reorganized, get their act together, and pay what they owe. Nothing wrong with that. But there is some kinds of bankruptcy where we just walk away. Say, you know, I charged all of that, I owe all that, I'm not paying it, I'm never gonna pay it. Can that be right? Isn't that taking what isn't yours? Isn't that stealing? Students, what about when we say to somebody at school, hey, can I copy your answer on this homework? I didn't get that done. You know, the Cowboy game ran kind of late last night. I didn't get my homework done. Can I copy from you? Hey, I'm not ready for this test. Slide your elbow over a little bit so that I can see what you're right. Isn't that stealing someone else's work? If I'm in a restaurant and the waitress brings the check, and we get some money together and put there in the folder, and we say, hey, bring us back some change. And then she brings it back in a minute, and we count the change, and we realize, guess what? There's a whole lot more money there than we thought. Look at that. If I keep too much change, what have I done? I've taken what isn't mine. I am stealing. Can I remind you of one more application of that? Look at Malachi, the third chapter, please. Go to Matthew and take a left. Let's get Malachi, the third chapter. The people of God had returned from Babylonian captivity but had a number of problems, and the Lord identifies for them some of the sources of their problems. In Malachi 3 and in verse 7, from the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes, Malachi 3:7, and you have not kept me. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. But you say, how shall we return? Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? You are cursed with a curse. You are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Now for certain, that is under the old law. That is under the old covenant in the time of tithing. But it certainly establishes the principle that we need to give to the Lord. And when we don't give to the Lord as we ought to, 2 Corinthians establishes the principle of being a cheerful giver, purposing in our heart to give. When we don't do that, what have we done? Like Israel of old, we have robbed God. See how better understanding of these things helps us see the challenge in this law, because God's law goes to the heart and deals with issues of integrity and honesty. We have to change our heart. Having said that, and recognizing that there is that temptation in our society to steal, especially because so many people just say, oh, what's the harm? Everybody does it. They've got insurance. What can we do about that? How can we resist the temptation to steal? Let me give you three ideas that'll help all of us be more honest. That starts by reminding ourselves, just because it's small, that doesn't make it right. I read about a guy who worked for a grass company, a sod company, and every day they laid rolls and rolls of sod, acres and acres of sod, and filling people's yards up with brand new sod. And sometimes every now and then, at the end of the day, he'd get a roll of sod off the truck, put it in the trunk of his car. After about a year, a little bit at a time, he had sodded his entire yard. If he had taken the company truck one day, driven it to his house, unloaded all that sod and sodded his yard in one fell swoop, what would have happened? He'd been in all kinds of trouble. He'd have been fired. He might have been prosecuted for stealing. But because he did it a little bit at a time, every now and then, his pilfering wasn't even noticed. But guess what? It was still stealing. And he was still a thief. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 16. In Luke 16 and verse 10. In Luke 16 and verse 10, Jesus reminds us small things matter. Luke 16:10, because one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Small things matter. Just because it's a little bit of stealing doesn't mean it's not still stealing. And of course, secondly, we don't want to ever justify our bad behavior by blaming the owner. What do people say when they file a false insurance claim or don't report all their income on the 1040 or cheat some big corporation out of a settlement or something? What do they say? Oh, it's such a big company, they're never going to miss it. Oh, they waste so much money. I'm just getting back some of what they really ought to have paid me after the way I was treated. I deserve it. They waste more than that every single day. So apparently, if you're a mega corporation that has lots of money, it's okay to steal from you. Apparently, if you don't do business in the way that I think is acceptable, you didn't treat me the way I want to be treated, it's okay to steal from you. Apparently, if you waste a lot of the people's money as a government, it's okay to steal from you. Those all sound great, but they're not found in Scripture. Stealing is taking what isn't yours. Is it yours? No. Then you can't have it. No matter how big the company is, no matter how they did you wrong, no matter how poorly they're doing business, no matter how much they waste. Stealing is taking what isn't yours. It's never justified because somebody didn't do to suit you. Which means finally, Probably the key principle in all of this is found in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and verse 12. What will keep us from taking and stealing and doing wrong is if we'll remember what Jesus challenges us with in Matthew 7 and verse 12. Whatever others, Matthew 7 and verse 12, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This one question defeats stealing and theft every time. How do I want to be treated? How would I want to be done in this situation? If I was the waitress who gave too much change back, what do I wish somebody had done? If I'm the bank teller who accidentally sent too much money through the tube, what do I wish would be done? How would I handle it if I'm in this situation? What do I wish people would do for me? Jesus demands that His followers treat others the way they want to be treated. Everybody abides by Matthew 7 and 12. And the police folks are going to have to find something else to do because robbery and thievery and stealing would disappear. Let's finish with one more passage. Look with me in Luke 19, please. Let's read about a thief. In Luke, the 19th chapter, we read about Jesus as He met a man named Zacchaeus. I'd have you notice this morning how being around Jesus changes people who steal. In Luke 19, I'm reading there in verse 6, Zacchaeus, verse 5, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham." When you're around Jesus, it'll change you. And it will change thieves into something else as they repent and restore to others what they've taken. Our society winks at stealing. Acts like it's not a big deal if the butcher's pushing down a little bit on the scale or the customer's lifting up a little bit on the pan. But in Scripture, we see that honesty matters. God's law ends a lack of respect for the rights and the property of others. God's law teaches us, you shall not steal.